morning. Court radio is now in session. Call 215-227-2727. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome back. Yes, I am here, Dean Weitzman, your host every Saturday morning right here on 100.3 WRNB.
And Classics 107.9.
Bringing you the great court radio show every Saturday morning, folks, where you get to call in with your legal questions one at a time, and we'll knock them out of the park. Just give us a call at 215-227-2727, the number for all things legal. Yes. Oh, what a great opening that was. Portends for a great show. I watched a movie last night on MSNBC called From Russia with Lev. And it was a documentary. I thought, kill some time. I was so into it. It shows the step-by-step process that the ex-president went through to get folks into Ukraine to bribe the put the thumb to their new president, Zelensky, who's now still their president, forcing him to investigate Hunter Biden in order to get weapons from the United States. And it was just drew me in. It was so sleazy, so incredibly wrong what they did, and all these characters, what was the mayor of New York?
Mayor?
You said mayor. How long
are we talking about?
9/11.
Rudy Giuliani.
Okay, there
Giuliani.
You go. Yeah, Giuliani is portrayed here in this movie as complete, just a total waste of life. He's a drunk. He's out there he's the Secretary of State, but he's not the Secretary of State, and sending people into foreign countries to do business for the United States. It made us look like a banana republic, like just insane. It was just crazy. So anyway, I could have watched it for 20 hours, but it was only an hour and a half. You got to watch the show. That is what I did last night. Yeah, It was kind of boring, but
it's not exciting.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah. But it was a home. Stayed home with the family, watched a little TV. We had a mediation yesterday. I can't discuss the parties. It's confidential, but I will say that it's now a theme. This client went to two other law firms before they got to us, and we saw the value in this case. We saw the importance of bringing this claim on her behalf, because the company that had done her wrong was really wrong. The matter got resolved for $1 million. Two law firms had turned her down before she had finally come to us. I say, folks, it would be in your best interest to skip the first two law firms and just come directly. If you've got
the two law firms that probably didn't take it probably did them a favor, because if they dropped her, they probably didn't have the legal expertise to actually see the value.
Perhaps, obviously, in this instance, yes, I would agree with that. Give us a call. If you've got, she had a fall accident, but if you've got a motor vehicle accident, a fall accident, a medical malpractice claim, come to My Philly Lawyer first.
Yeah.
215-227-2727. It's the number for Court Radio on Saturday mornings. It's the number for My Philly Lawyer all week long.
If I was her, I'd be so petty, like that scene in Pretty Woman with Julia Roberts, where they don't want to help her at on Rodeo Drive, and she goes back with all her bags, and she's like, big mistake. Big mistake. That would be me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know what, folks? I 100% know that would be her. 100%. The reason I can't really discuss it is because so often these claims end with a very serious confidentiality agreement. And the party, the wrongdoer doesn't want the rest of the world to know that they have done wrong. And so it's not unusual to end with a confidentiality agreement. And if you violate the confidentiality agreement,
countersued.
The entire settlement will be out the door and you'll have to return all the money to the at-fault party.
So question about that. In a case where there's been... Let's just sex. I don't want you to have to say anything to jeopardize your case. There has just been just blatant wrongdoing, like carelessness. Like this carelessness caused this incident. But now we have a confidentiality agreement. So now how do we force the wrong party to correct themselves and that not happen again? Because like nobody knows it happened.
Well, there's two things that's going on there. First of all, the wrongdoer paid dearly, you know, for their negligence. Okay, and how often do you want, whether you're a company or an individual or whomever, do you want to keep paying and paying and paying for the same mistake? So hopefully, the fact that they had to pay such a large amount of money is an incentive unto itself. Secondly, in this instance, they did make corrections. They did improve the area so that this should not happen the way it happened this time.
Okay.
And so a lot of times when corporations make mistakes, they figure those mistakes out and they fix them. In this instance, it really was really, really bad.
Okay.
And so... that's all I can say about that. We have some stories to tell and we're taking calls. So folks, mm-hmm. if you got a legal issue, give us a call, 215-227-2727. Oh, and by the way, we have our live show. Is that October 20th?
That will be October 20th.
October 20th. We're doing a live show, the Sisterhood event.
Celebrating Sisterhood at Rivers Casino.
Rivers. Wow. I might have to, hang out a little while longer after my show.
Just to let you know, October 20th is my actual birthday.
Ah! Woo-hoo!
All right. Well, we're going to have to celebrate that day. So it'll be Eric's birthday party. And a live show all at once. We're going to have a panel. We're going to be discussing, I think, a very, very important topic for our listeners. And I'll say no more about that. I want to keep a little bit of a hook there, but I will say that you'll find some very interesting information if you can find your way to the live show on October 20th. Do we know what time it's going to be starting?
Our panel part, we don't know yet, no.
Okay. So I probably sometime around 11.
That's a good estimate.
Yeah, somewhere around 11 a.m. But it's an all-day event, though. There's going to be, who else is going to be there?
Dr. Ayla Stanford.
Kiki Palmer.
Well, Kiki Palmer is going to be there. Dr. Ellen Waller is going to be celebrated. And there's going to be a basement party with Mr. Cheeks from the Lost Boys. So some hip-hop with Lady B and DJ Touchstone.
Wow.
So
wow. It's an action-packed day.
It's going to be definitely an action-packed day. And then there's going to be
There's a lot of vendors there.
There's going to be some vendors there.
Yeah.
And, you know, definitely it's going to be an empowering event for our women.
Yes, it is. And our topic is very woman-centric topic. So
it always is.
Yeah. So I think that you're going to have a great time. And, of course, Court Radio will be the highlight of the whole day.
Of course.
Absolutely, yes. Because it's sponsored by...
Court Radio. My Philly Lawyer.
My Philly Lawyer.
Yep.
You know those guys.
Yes, I do. I was with them yesterday. can I be with myself? And it gets a little weird.
You're always with yourself.
Yeah. It's my best friend. 215-227-2727. The number for all things legal. If you've got a legal issue, today is the day to get it on the table. And let's tackle it for you. We have an 8-year-old goes joyriding to Target. Tell us about this.
A girl after my own heart. She just needed a little self-care. You know, 8 years old. She got her mom's car, her mom's Nissan Rogue, and she drove over 10 miles to Target. This happened in Ohio. So the police found her because they found the mom's car. They go inside, and the young lady is at the Starbucks counter having a Frappuccino. 8 years old. Yes, she was. And they let her finish her Frappuccino. But the question that I have about this, because it did all end very peacefully, she only hit a mailbox. She parked. She drove. Like, this girl is better than half the people driving on the street right now. So it ended very happily. But the question is, what if it had not? What if this 8-year-old had hit somebody, severely injured them, possibly killed them?
Yes. Okay. So a child's negligence is impugned to the parents. So whatever negligence the child commits, is the negligence of the parent. Like an employee who commits negligence, their negligence is impugned to the employer. And so the parents would be at fault for that accident. Number one. Number two, their parents might be independently at fault because they maybe allowed the keys to be available to the 8-year-old. Now, if the child had never touched the car, never given any indication that she was going to drive the car, I'm not sure that they needed to hide the keys. I don't know that that's, you know, that that's
not something that's normal.
Yeah, no, certainly not. But definitely her negligence would fall upon the parents.
But it would be under their parents' insurance.
It would be, yeah. Okay. But sometimes those contracts say that you have to be a licensed driver in order to be insured. Now, I've fought that before and won. But, you know, there's always these sneaky little clauses in the
little
contract.
Caveats.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to be careful about. So that's how I would address this young lady, besides which she would be getting some serious punishment at home. She'd be in solitary confinement for a while.
Yeah, definitely that.
All right, what else do we have? We follow up with a case we discussed 2 years ago at Sesame Place.
Yes. So if you guys remember, there was a group of people who said that in 2022, a coworker who was in a Rosita costume passed over two black girls to hug white children. And we actually spoke to the attorney on this show, and it has been 2 years, and a jury has found that Sesame Place is not liable in a federal discrimination case.
Yes. Actually, we looked at these cases and turned them down. We had been approached by a family to discuss representation, and we just felt like it looked like it was, but we didn't think we could prove it was the basis upon which they looked past these children. And I'll say this. Anytime you have any personal injury action, when you have to go to federal court to litigate that action, it has less value than an action brought in state court, or it is more difficult to establish. And why is that? Because the jury pool on federal court actions pulls from a much larger jury pool all the way out to the counties, and they tend to be more conservative. And so those panels require an extraordinarily higher level of evidence and negligence than they would in the city, I think. I think that's not me saying that. That's the entire bar saying that, and that's the effect that's when you see the verdicts, you see that being played out, that Philadelphia verdicts are much more substantial than they are in federal court. And oftentimes in federal court, you'll get a defense verdict, whereas in the city, you may have gotten a plaintiff's verdict. That's a reality. And so they, Sesame Place is not a citizen of the state of, or the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. They are obviously incorporated in another state. And when you have diversity of citizenship, one party, the defendant from one state, the plaintiff from the home state, in this case, Pennsylvania, when they litigate a case, the out-of-state defendant can move the matter from state court to federal court under diversity of jurisdiction. And that's exactly what happened here. And when that happens, the plaintiffs always groan and say, ugh, we've got a much higher mountain to climb now. So those folks, the verdict came back. And the from what I read and saw, the idea was that this outfit that they wore was so difficult to see out from that that was their excuse. They couldn't see the children, especially ones that were very close to them and low to the ground. And it wasn't that they were ignoring them, but it was that they couldn't see them. Furthermore, the people that were wearing the costumes were children. Were kids themselves, college age kids. And I think that the accusation that they were being racist and that their explanation that they weren't being racist was taken by the jury as being more true than not.
Theme parks are not all alike. Sesame Place is not Disney. Disney is not Hershey Park. They have, I guess, a different, I don't want to say standard, but maybe a different level of employee, okay. A different type of employee, a different train. Because I've never heard of Disney really screwing up. They've got that down to a science. You never see characters with their heads off. There's a whole underground town and city and everything. You don't hear this type of thing with Disney. Not to say it doesn't happen, but what you said when I was coming in, how sometimes sides don't, you don't know just how bad things really were because of non-disclosure agreements. So we may never know that. But I'm just saying you can't, all of them are not alike. You can't weigh them on, paint them up with a broad brush. They're different levels of this theme park thing.
And that's a very good point because in this instance, in this case against Sesame, the jury was tasked with assessing the credibility of the two or three characters that were alleged to be racist. Now, the outfit's off, Big Bird's off, and you're looking at a 19-year-old college student who says, no, I'm not racist. I just couldn't see the kid because the costume prevented me from. They have to assess that person's credibility. Is that person? And then also, is the company have a kind of racist racist kind of way
culture.
Culture, that's the word I'm looking for. A racist culture that they impugn to their employees. Obviously, based on all the evidence that this jury saw, they didn't find that there was that there. There wasn't enough there for them to side with the plaintiffs.
As they say, the burden of proof, they didn't.
Right. And what is the burden of proof in a civil case? It's just a little bit more than the other side.
Right.
You know,
preponderance of the evidence.
When you got that scale of justice, it has to tip just a little bit more onto the side that, the plaintiff's side. If it's completely balanced, if it's 50-50, you've not met your burden.
I can honestly say this. A long time ago in a life far, far away, I wore one of those costumes at a promotional event down at the Spectrum.
Oh, Lord, I would have wanted to see that.
Me and a buddy of mine, we shared it. It was an all-day event. First of all, those things are very, very hot.
Yes.
They're very, very, and they're not really comfortable. And it is hard to see. You don't see from where you think you see from, folks. You may see from the neck or the mouth or something. So I can understand that.
Yep.
Yeah, I can. They probably brought people in, right?
Yeah. Oh, no, they didn't bring people in. That's the interesting thing.
No.
They took the jury on a bus up to Sesame Place and allowed the jurors to get into the costumes.
Oh.
Yes.
I like that.
I do, too.
So there you go.
They brought the jury on a little trip from the courthouse to Sesame Place and put them in the costumes so that they can experience what the folks who work there experience.
Brilliant.
Wow.
Brilliant.
Wow.
And the jury said, yeah.
There you go.
You know, shout out to all my Chuck E. Cheese folks that do this every single day.
God bless you, man.
24/7, 365 days.
Yeah, yeah. Chuck E. Cheese, man, that brings back memories. 215-227-2727. Folks, if you've got a legal issue, today probably is a good day to give us a call because we're in the mood to tackle some tough legal issues.
We're in the mood for legal.
It looks like things are not over for Bill Cosby just yet.
Groan.
It's never over for most who have been in that spotlight that they're, you know, have sexual indiscretions.
Yeah. Well, he's in a long line of folks who are in that place. It's kind of, you know, when you, I don't know, because maybe I'm not there, but when you add power, prestige, and money, it seems like that's where they all go. Like they, okay, I won't paint with a, because there's got to be somebody that does.
This is not the week for that.
Yeah, I know. Like,
man.
The Diddy thing. I mean, power, prestige, and money, and they go to these places sexually that are just out there.
Did you see the number of people that resigned 24 hours after the Diddy thing came out?
I did not.
So they're not all related. As much as people would like to relate them.
You're certain it's not.
Because the Warner Atlantic Music Group was already under a whole lot of changes.
But this is more than just music people, I'm saying. That
and Nike was not related.
I'm talking about some of the political figures that resigned around in New York and other
That's
names.
I said some. I said, but the majority of the majority of the ones that everybody was like, oh, no, Nike, finally, somebody called Nike on the carpet. You have literally been remixing the same shoe for 11 years, and you have not done anything new. And the Nike got cocky, and they did not realize that so many other shoes have come into the fold, and they have competition. And the guy at the helm, he was not meeting the competition.
Yeah, so, folks, you know, the kids they're wearing more New Balance right now than Nike.
Nike got very cocky, and they said that also, even in terms of the celebrity endorsements, they haven't gone and gotten younger. They have not, you know, they just kind of sat there comfy. So Nike to the side, because I was like, how did y'all think Nike and Diddy, but okay. Well, and then there were a lot of, in the music industry, both in this country and overseas, where a lot of CEOs stepped down. But all of that has been in the works now.
Okay.
And it's been happening slowly over, like, the last, like, 6 months. But so they're not related.
But to your point, Manuel, will we see, once he starts to defend himself or maybe just bring other people down with him, will we see a whole lot of folks of power, political, corporate power, be named in subsequent filings that they participated?
Because from what I understand, there's video. He was videoing some of his parties.
Yeah.
So.
And it was always understood that you had to leave Diddy's party by a certain time. So those who knew to leave before the activities.
Oh, really?
Yes.
When the lubricant would be.
It was. Everybody knew after a certain time it was time to get out.
Come on, man, 1,000 bottles of lubricant. We can't ignore that. That a whole room.
Baby oil.
It was both. Ooh. But the thing with his back to Cosby, this stuff will never go away.
Well,
it will be. We'll be hearing about this. There'll be other claims.
There'll be claims against the estate when he's gone. There'll be,
this is going to be a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And why is that? Why is that? Because typically we talk here about a statute of limitations. Mm. And these are not criminal matters now. These are civil matters. Mm-hmm. And the states, one by one, they seem to be doing this. They're eradicating the statute of limitations when it comes to sexual abuse claims. And so you can bring a sexual abuse claim 30 years after it's happened or 40 years after it's happened. And in Nevada, which is where these claims emanate from, that Vegas, they have just done away with it. There are no statute of limitations for sexual abuse
they
claims.
They did away with it.
Yeah.
They never had it or they did away with it?
No, they had it.
And they did away with it.
Yes.
Which brings up the question whether, you can fight the statute because you have a certain expectation.
Right.
You know, if you commit negligence or some activity that you have, there's a period of time which you can be brought to task for it. And beyond that, you can't.
Because you can be grandfathered into the old statute and, you know, like whatever. And you can use that as a defense. Like, look.
Yeah. I had evidence that I wasn't there or I didn't do that, but I threw the evidence away because I knew there was nothing there.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. And so
so that's an argument.
It's an argument.
Yeah, you're not able to defend yourself because you don't have the evidence because you didn't expect that you would need it.
Exactly.
God bless democracy and the justice system.
Never thought of that.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens there. Obviously, Bill's still has cash, and so as long as you still have cash, there's going to be people coming to take it away from you.
Cash is king.
215-227-2727, the number for all things legal. But if you've got a legal issue today, give us a call. We'll see you back on the other side of the break in 2 minutes. It happens every day here in Philly. You're walking your dog or headed to work, and in a split second, you're on the ground in pain because of someone else's carelessness. I'm Dean Weitzman. For over 35 years, My Philly Lawyer has been fighting for people just like you. You can't work. Medical bills are piling up, and you need cash to take care of your family. Slip and fall, we've got you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. Accidents happen. It's that simple, right? I'm Dean Weitzman. Every day someone in Philly takes a fall because someone else didn't do their job right. That's where My Philly Lawyer steps in. You need physical therapy? Check. Need someone to take on the insurance company? Check. You need cash? Check and check. We've been winning for over 35 years. Slip and fall? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. You're cruising down the boulevard, listening to your tunes, and bam, some idiot runs a light, messing up you and your car. I'm Dean Weitzman. Bad drivers causing accidents are a fact of life in Philly. Another fact, with over 35 years fighting for people like you, My Philly Lawyer knows how to get you the help you need and make insurance companies pay. Victim of a car accident? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome back. I am Dean Weitzman, your host of Court Radio, every Saturday morning right here on 100.3 WRNB.
And Classics 107.9.
That's it, folks. We got the legal out of the way, and now it's time for you. If you've got a legal issue, we've got a legal solution.
Mm-hmm.
Tactics, line three, Mr. Clarence. Oh,
Clarence.
Hello, yeah, Clarence.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to Court Radio.
Yes, I'm calling to find out that do I have a legal issue here because I took my truck to the mechanic shop, and while I was there, it was stolen. I think they might have left it outside, and I wanted to know if they have anything. Do I have a case?
Liability.
Yeah, I think the mechanics are responsible for making sure that your vehicle is in a safe place while in their custody, care, and control. And so we don't know. They may have left the doors open. And yes, there may be negligence there, and they may have responsibility. And I know that you probably don't have insurance on the car. And so you're really left with bringing a claim against them or suffering the loss all on your own. So I would bring the claim against the mechanic shop for sure. What's the value of the car?
The value of the car was $25,000.
Yeah.
So are you still making payments on it?
I'm still making the payments. So I'm still making the payments.
So you should have had at least close to full coverage, right?
Oh yeah, no doubt I had full coverage.
So you do have insurance.
That's right.
I'm sorry. Let me back that up. I didn't have coverage on the car when I took it there.
Coverage lapse?
I took it off because I had got another vehicle car I needed for work. But so I took it there. It was still up on their care.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unfortunately, they left it outside.
All right. Well.
You're going to have to bring a claim against them. The question is, where to bring that claim. And because unfortunately, the Philadelphia Municipal Court jurisdictional limits is $12,000. So, you know, what you would call small claims court, you can't sue for more than $12,000. So in order to sue for $25,000, you have to bring the claim in the Court of Common Pleas. And that's a lot more difficult. You see, in the municipal court, you might be able to do this on your own. You go in, the clerks help you file a complaint against the at-fault party. You give them their name and address, and you have your day in court. You tell the judge what happened. The judge makes a decision, and if nobody takes an appeal, you've won. In the Court of Common Pleas, everything is ramped up as to the complexity of how to do that. Not something you probably will be able to do on your own. And at the same time, you probably are going to have to pay an attorney by the hour to bring that claim in the Court of Common Pleas. So you may want to bring it in municipal court and limit yourself to $12,000, or you're going to have to go out of pocket to hire an attorney to file that action in the Court of Common Pleas.
Yeah, and that's what I was afraid of right there.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know. You're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place, Clarence.
A hard place, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I was like, well, I had to call you guys because I was listening to you guys. So,
I would just recommend this.
And the car was never recovered. It was stolen and never recovered.
It hasn't been recovered.
Yeah, the other thing is, you know, you might want to just send them a letter putting them on notice of the claim, telling them that you will bring an action and asking them to turn it over to their insurance carrier. Mm-hmm. I would be surprised if they didn't have insurance. There's some policy called garage keeper's liability, which would apply in this instance. And I think that most garages would have that type of coverage. So you might want to ask them to turn this over to their garage keeper's liability carrier and see what happens at that point.
Okay. I appreciate the help.
All right, Clarence, take care. Have a great Saturday.
Right. Okay. Good call.
Y'all too. All right.
Take care, Clarence. Bye-bye.
That oftentimes the cost of litigation is the real problem with litigants trying to get, you know, satisfaction through the courts. Because unless it's a personal injury action, where we're working on a
contingency.
Yeah. And what does that mean? That means that you don't pay anything. You know, most of my clients do not pay a fee to me until such time that I bring their claim to a successful resolution. And so you're paying a percentage of that resolution if and when that day comes. But cases like this, where you've got only a property damage claim or whatever other litigation you might want to engage in the world, you're usually paying by the hour, and it's not cheap. That can oftentimes stop an individual from pursuing a claim, even though they have a valid and legit claim to pursue. Let's talk to Braxton on line two. Hey, Braxton, welcome to Court Radio.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
What's happening?
So I'm just going through this thing with my landlord that he's trying to evict me. So I just moved to the Philadelphia area, and I tried to he was having complaints that the neighbors were complaining about me being too noisy. And on the report, it says that I'm talking too loud and laughing too loud at a certain time of night, but I work like two jobs, so my schedule's different. And I sleep during the day, and they're loud during the day. And he's been complaining about it for months, and then I guess we had to go through an eviction diversion program, which is new to me. But we came up with an agreement that he wouldn't evict me until he would help me find a new place within the same company. But then, like a month later, he sent me paperwork to try and evict me anyways. And some of the complaints about me and my noise are times where I wasn't even home, or I was even in the state because I was traveling. So, like, anyone in the building could be making noise, and they just say it's me. And then my neighbors have a dog who bark all the time and making noise. And I told him about it, and he said that they told him that the dog doesn't live there, but I have video proof that the dog is barking through the door in my building. So he doesn't care to look up on them, but then he's worried about me. But they said two of the people moved out because I was too noisy. So because they're moving out, he won't renew my lease and they're evicting me.
Okay, so
I'm just trying to figure out if I should take it to court or not.
Well, it sounds like he's taking it to court if you said he's continuing the process of eviction. I'm a little confused here. Is he continuing the process of eviction, or is he refusing to renew your lease?
He's giving me the option to either stay until my lease is over or to go to court to fight to stay longer.
Okay. Well, he doesn't have to renew your lease.
Right.
So if you wouldn't be going to court to stay beyond your lease. So the lease comes to an end. He says he's giving you the option to stay to the end of the lease. That's all he has to do. Mm-hmm. And if he chooses not to renew the lease, even if you don't like the reason or you think that it's, you know, there is not a factual basis for that reason, you still, at the end of the lease, you're going to end up having to find a new place. And you want the landlord to probably give you a good referral for your next landlord. Mm. So to me, it sounds like this is something that you two should work out. Find a happy place where you can get out and into a new place in a time frame that works for you. With his support, providing an appropriate reference for the next lease place. If you were being attempted to be evicted, then all the evidence you have would be valuable. I mean, you would take that to court. You would show that you were not in the area on a time when he says you were being too loud, and you would probably win that case.
Yep.
But that doesn't seem like where you are at this point. It seems like you can stay there till the end of the lease, but you're not going to get renewed there. And you need to find another place.
Yeah, noise is really hard for one landlord to prove that it's just you. You know what I mean? Especially in an apartment building. That's a high bar of burden for even a landlord.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. All right, Braxton, have a great Saturday. I'm hopeful.
Good luck, Braxton.
That you'll find a new place soon.
Thank you.
We have on line 4, Jacqueline. Hey, Jacqueline, welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning. My name is Jacqueline. Thank you so much for taking my call. I called you about 2 years ago for some advice. That was great advice. But I have a different case here. So I attend the university, and I had already had my associate's degree. So I attend this university for my bachelor's degree, and I was maybe about 8 credits away from graduating. Never had any problems at any universities or anything. So in class, there was an incident. So the white girl called me a nigger, right?
Yeah,
in class.
Please don't say that word again.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, the N-word.
Yeah, well, thank you.
I apologize. So what I did was when the professor came into the room, I told the professor exactly what happened. So he told me to go and report her after he got her side of the story to my side of the story. So I went and reported. At the time, I never had any black professors except for one. I had one white counselor throughout this whole school. You know, I was told the school was a prejudice school anyway. So I did, after that, they suspend me. So I'm figuring, okay, maybe I'm suspended for, you know, like 6 months or whatever.
Well, I'm sorry.
Roll back.
Yeah. Why'd they suspend you?
Yeah.
What action did you take when...
what did they allege that you did?
Right, to suspend you.
They alleged that I had cheated.
You had cheated?
Yeah.
Cheated on what?
It was a test day. So I was sitting at my desk, eating an apple, got up, put the apple, you know, in the trash that I was finished with, went over to the window because where the university is, the airport is directly across the street. So airplanes are very close to the top of the building. So the girl, she sat across from the teacher's desk. So I'm looking out the window. The girl going to say that I'm cheating looking at the teacher's desk where the test was at. So she gets up, right, and start talking some stuff and call me a nigga like that.
Please, Jacqueline.
Once again.
Sorry,
Jacqueline.
I apologize. She picked up the paper, right, and actually the papers were turned over. So, like I said, the professor walked in the room.
Okay.
Asked what's going on.
All right. You have a dispute with another student, and that dispute arises because there's an allegation of cheating. What the other student said to you is offensive.
Are you kidding me? That's a major trigger.
Okay. But that's the student, not the university.
Right. True.
That's the student.
Yeah.
And, you know, the university suspends her for cheating. Obviously,
That's a different issue.
That's a whole different issue.
It really is.
They've gone through the process. I would presume they have some process to determine whether there is cheating, and they have concluded that that Jacqueline had engaged in cheating because they suspended her, according to Jacqueline. That process, that's the whole point of bringing this up is there are attorneys who are very specific attorneys who deal with administrative hearings in schools,
right,
because they have a whole process in school as to whether, you know, if there's an allegation you cheated, then mm-hmm. you have an opportunity to defend yourself, bring mm-hmm. witnesses in, have an attorney represent you, mm-hmm. and have, you know, and then there's usually a student body who's the judge and jury in that instance who then, you know, made up of professors, other students, who then listen to that hearing and make a decision as to whether or not there's a basis for finding cheating.
Now, if you're utilizing a lawyer, is this lawyer going to try to take action as far as the discrimination as well? Because it sounds like she's coming out of pocket.
The discrimination is against the other student. Let's assume for a moment the university didn't engage in the discrimination,
right,
didn't condone it in any way, shape, or form, that was something said by another student, and the university punished that student as well for that act, for whatever she said.
Because Jacqueline is trying to
bring those issues
together.
And those two issues aren't together.
Exactly.
They're completely separate issues. One, does the university defend Jacqueline by punishing the student for their behavior? That student should have been suspended as well,
right,
or even worse. But the whole issue with Jacqueline and the cheating is a completely separate issue. Mm. And so Jacqueline has to defend herself. She was suspended for 6 months. I assume she either didn't defend herself or she went through the process and lost.
Charges, paid for everything myself, and the papers were sent to the university. After that, I had a hearing with a judge by phone, and he didn't even listen to my conversation. He listened to the university. They spoke first on the phone, and then when he got to me, I'm trying to explain to him. All I wanted was an apology at the time, right? So he told me
What happens is when the judge doesn't believe you have a case, and you can't force somebody to apologize, unfortunately, you know, she should have suffered her own
consequences
through the university for that what she said. But when the judge feels like there is no basis to bring a claim, he can dismiss your claim. He can dismiss it with prejudice, in which case you can never bring it again, or he can dismiss it without prejudice. In your case, he left the door open. He dismissed it without prejudice in the event that you retained an attorney to bring the claim, a valid claim, before the court again. All right, Jacqueline, thank you so much for your call. We appreciate the opportunity to have kind of walked through that process with you. All right, let's talk to Sharif on line five. Mm.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Hey, several times I've listened to your show and I've heard you talk about the full tort and limited tort thing with insurance. Mm-hmm. I have actually been in situations where probably over the past couple of years, numerous people have hit me from behind while I'm at a light. I'm sitting at a red light, and people slam into the back of me. In one incident, I was going down Baltimore Pike over in Upper Darby with a dash cam, and I guess I wasn't driving fast enough for a guy, so he tried to go around me so fast, and he slammed into the front of my car, and the dash cam captured everything. He kept going. I think an off-duty cop saw it. He was in back of Jim, and he pulled the guy over. He said, God is going to actually flee the case.
What's your question,
okay,
Sharif? What's your question?
So my question is this. I've had several, when it happened, I've called lawyers. They've taken the case. Okay, they've taken the case. Send me to therapy and everything. And then 2 years later, 2.5 years later, they call you and say, I'm sorry, you don't have a case, because then they start coming to you with the limited tort
okay.
situation.
So
what is the
go ahead. Get to that question.
So what is the situation with this kind of, with this insurance, with this full tort, limited tort, liability? I mean, why do you get this stuff, pay all of this money, and it does you no good if you get an accident? It's almost like a person can hit you and kill somebody in your car.
Yeah,
we got it.
So here's the deal, Sharif. Number one, those law firms that you went to weren't my Philly lawyer.
That's okay? Number one.
That's number one.
That's number one.
So, you know, you listen to court radio, and I tell people, call me first.
Every time.
I've settled this year many, many cases for limited tort clients. Many. That is not a bar to recovery that is absolute. However, I do encourage my listeners to get full tort insurance.
All the time.
Because when you get limited tort insurance, here's the contract you're entering into. You're entering into a contract with the whole Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and every insurance company that does business in here. And what you've said to them, what you've contracted with them is, hey, you, whatever your insurance company is, name the insurance company, Progressive, State Farm, whatever, you give me this cheap policy. I'm going to pay less for this limited tort policy. I'm going to be legal. I can drive my car. I'm insured. But I promise if anybody hits me in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and hurts me, so long as they don't seriously and permanently hurt me, I'm going to give them a free pass.
Limited tort.
That's limited tort.
Signed limited tort.
No, signed Sharif. Sharif, you gave away the right to collect for anything but a serious and permanent injury.
Yeah. Sharif, I've been where you are, bro. It sucks. It does, man. I didn't want to pay full tort for years. I learned the hard way, too, man. It's the way to go.
And I've heard y'all say that. And I'm looking at the fact that when I buy my car and when it's new, I can see that. But if I have
it,
car,
no, listen, it doesn't matter. Bro, it doesn't matter.
It, brother, it has nothing to do with your car. Your car is metal. You can insure your car or not insure your car. But the limited tort has to do with a bodily injury claim. You cannot get paid for the injuries they cause you unless those injuries are permanent and serious.
Yes.
You waive your right to collect for anything but serious bodily injuries. You can always get your car repaired if you're not at fault. That has nothing to do with tort. Tort is bodily injury only. You cannot collect for that. We're up against a break. We got to take a quick break, folks.
Sorry, Sharif,
but we'll be back in 2 minutes. It happens every day here in Philly. You're walking your dog or headed to work, and in a split second, you're on the ground in pain because of someone else's carelessness. I'm Dean Weitzman. For over 35 years, my Philly lawyer has been fighting for people just like you. You can't work. Medical bills are piling up, and you need cash to take care of your family. Slip and fall, we've got you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly lawyer, when winning matters most. Accidents happen. It's that simple, right? I'm Dean Weitzman. Every day someone in Philly takes a fall because someone else didn't do their job right. That's where My Philly lawyer steps in. You need physical therapy? Check. Need someone to take on the insurance company? Check. You need cash? Check and check. We've been winning for over 35 years. Slip and fall? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly lawyer, when winning matters most. I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. You're cruising down the boulevard, listening to your tunes, and bam, some idiot runs a light, messing up you and your car. I'm Dean Weitzman. Bad drivers causing accidents are a fact of life in Philly. Another fact, with over 35 years fighting for people like you, My Philly Lawyer knows how to get you the help you need and make insurance companies pay. Victim of a car accident? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Earphones, earphones, you can do it.
Yeah.
You can do it.
A little,
y'all right over there,
Three Stooges.
I tell you,
bit. And a little Mo Larry and Curly going on over there.
If you could see what just happened on the radio,
yeah,
it would be hilarious.
You can't put your headphones on backwards. It doesn't work. All right. Folks, we've got a caller. Let's talk to Ed on line 2. Hi, Ed. Welcome to Court Radio.
Hi. Hey, thanks for taking my call. My question is in regards to an easement on my property. This issue came up years ago when a cell phone antenna setup was put on a water tower across the street from my house. And I looked there's an easement given on my property way back in the early 60s when it was built to Bell Telephone to basically the permission to supply my premises and those adjacent thereto with electric, gas, and telephone service. And they put up a cell line, and they put more lines along the side of my property and the back of my property. There, in our area, there's a lot of these lines that go around.
Mm-hmm.
Properties not along the roads. So my question, I haven't done anything on this in years. When I questioned this way back when, at that point in 97, actually Verizon offered me $1,000 to basically put my issue to rest. I never did anything, so I'm just looking to revisit that. What do you think my options are?
Well, I think that you should probably call an attorney, and one that specializes in property disputes. If there is an easement, the question is it recorded? Is it on your deed? And if it is, did the original property owner get compensated for that? I would presume the easement is forever, but that's not really my area. And I'm kind of a fish out of water here. So I would say,
do we have a guy?
Yeah, give Saul a call.
This would be up his year.
Yeah, give my office a call on Monday, 215-227-2727, and ask for Saul Langsam. Yeah. Because I think Saul could probably assist you with this and get the matter resolved. I wonder, pardon me, if they, you know, why is it that they made an offer to you in 97 if there's a valid and legit easement on your property already recorded on your deed?
Ding.
You know, why are they offering you more money if they didn't need to?
I agree. And back in 97, I just didn't have the financial resources to fight them. We just moved in. A young couple just moved in. And then I just put it to rest. But, yeah, I actually have a copy of the deed. And it gave them, for a dollar, it gave Bell Telephone that right. And my argument at that point was, this is no longer telephone service. It's a cell array that you're adding lines on that's supporting cars and properties not adjacent to my house, for sure. But anyhow.
Yeah, those are, you know what? I mean.
Yeah, they changed the services.
Those are all good arguments. And I think, you know, you have the possibility of a claim here, and it probably is worth a lot more than $1,000.
Yeah, give us a call.
It's money in the bank, young man. Go give Saul a call on Monday.
Better call Saul.
Thank you for calling the show. And, you know, folks, we're just about out of time. We are going to have to break here and see you next Saturday, same time, same place.